the matter of influence. As you think about influence, you can think about it in this way. How many people would you reckon have been influential in your life? And then on the other side of that, how influential have you been in the lives of others? And how influential would you like to be? I say that it will rise or fall, for good or bad, on the whole notion of faith. And how, what shall we say, how your faith relates to water. How your faith relates to water. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, lead us in the look into the book today. Bring glory to yourself. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, for your mercies. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to gain what we can, to use what we are able, and to bring glory to your name in all of it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm reminded of an Old Testament historical narrative concerning the prophets, where there was a work project undergoing. And an unfortunate thing happened to one of the fellows. He was using a borrowed axe, and as he was using it, the axe handle came off, or the axe head came off of the handle and went into the drink, out of sight. And he was a little bit, as we might understand, concerned about that. I mean, nobody likes to borrow a tool and have it damaged or turn up missing. I hear stories from parties unmentioned who will relate to me that every now and again a neighbor will come by, knock on the door, and ask to borrow a certain tool. Not being to wanting to be curmudgeon-y, he gives them the tool to use. And weeks come and go, never sees light of day of that tool, doesn't know where it's at. One day, out in the yard, as he's cutting grass, he's running the mower, and he happens to find the tool that he loaned his neighbor in the grass. And oftentimes that brings a little bit of ill will. So you understand that in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 6, this statement that talks, that addresses the subject of faith and our influence as it relates to water. And it is this: the iron did swim. The axe head did swim. Didn't float. It didn't float. Swimmed. Swum. Swam.
It's swimming.
Yes, it's... The axe head came to the surface of the water. Now, think about that with regard to faith. In order for that to be of any value at all, the axe head has to go into the water. Obvious. Has to go into the water. But whenever provisions are made and we find that the iron did swim, we are reminded of something else in the scriptures that says that things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And when we think about that, even when the work seems so hopeless as to border on the absurd to continue, we must remember that the iron swims. However, in order for us to benefit at all in that, the iron has to be put in the water. Now, that is illogical. It makes no sense at all. But only because it happened was the faith of those who saw it emboldened. It reminds me of another water incident. A water incident that we find in Mark's gospel, or Matthew's gospel, I think, somewhere around chapter 14, where there had been a big meeting. The Lord Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. What a display that would have been. He fed them with 5,000 people, catered services, of course. He fed them with little. He fed them with little. And after it's all over, he stays behind to send the multitude away, as the scriptures say. Sent them away. He's the only person in the Bible where you ever will see sending a multitude away. We are not built that way. We want to draw a multitude here. He sends a multitude away. So while he goes up to a mountain to pray and he's all alone, but he sends his disciples out across on a boat, sends them across the sea. And the scriptures will teach that in the middle of the sea, a storm arose. Typhoon type storm. And, of course, they were terrified, as one might imagine. They were not in an unsinkable Titanic vessel. And so they were involved in this storm. Well, bottom line is this. Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Walking on the water. Peter sees him. Well, when they first see him, they figure it's a ghost. And they're all afraid. And Peter once identifies who it is, he says this to the Lord. Lord, bid me come to thee. Jesus says, one word. Just one word. Come. Just come. Sometimes when Jesus says for us to come, we have to get out of the boat. We have to get out of the boat and step onto the water. Now, the truth of the matter is, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. He walked on the water. I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know how much distance he passed. But he walked on the water. But you know, in order for you to do that, you've got to get out of the boat. You can sit in the boat and say, well, look, Jesus said come, but it doesn't make any sense. If I step out of the boat right now, I'm going down, I'm going to sink. It's storm out. And I'll remind you that the storm didn't stop until they got back in the boat with Jesus. So Peter gets out. He walks on water. And only when he takes his eyesight off and his focus off Jesus, and now the storm captures his attention, does he begin to sink. And it's not the kind of, as you might think, sink in a sense, you know, a gradual, oh, here we go. I'm up to my knees now. I'm up to my waist now. How, you know, he's starting to panic. He's not even treading water. He's up to his waist now. He's still sinking. No, the word sink there means that he went under and he was beginning to drown. And then the Greek word that is used, I laughed when I looked at it and examined it. It's spelled K-R-A-Z-O. K-R-A-Z-O. And I think I'm making the connection to crazy. But literally the word means that old Peter, when he went down, he shrieked, Lord, save me! That's how desperate a man is when he's going down. That's exactly what that word. It's not like a shrieking of a crazy man. A crazy person. Pull all this together for a minute. I suggest to you that we can be people of influence if we walk by faith. Faith will mean that the iron, the axe head, must be put into the water. And faith will require that we get out of the boat at the invitation of the Lord so as to walk on the water and think nothing impossible if Jesus bids us come. Now indeed, when you think about men of influence, think about the following. Think about these following individuals who had great influence. Great influence. Think about the person mentioned in Genesis chapter 18. Think about how his influence was when he came to pray, there's Abram, and there's his family members, Lot. And there they are in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Good real estate bargains there, by the way. Buy cheap, sell big. And in Genesis chapter 18, verses 21 to 26, here's what we read about Abraham. That whenever he was made aware that the city was going to be destroyed and he realized that his family members were there, when he was told that that the city was going to be destroyed, it says that Abraham stood before the Lord and he began to intercede. And in his intercession, he was influential in that community. Not many people, but his family. His prayerful intercession resulted in the extraction of family members from the place of judgment. How might we be people of influence? By utilizing the throne of grace. Is that not a profound act of faith? Is it not so that whenever you come to pray, that it is tantamount to getting out of the boat because the person or thing you're praying for does not seem possible? Not even God himself could solve that solution, we think. But there was Abraham. Men of influence. Seen to have influence with God at the throne of grace. But there is a not to be forgotten formula to keep in mind. For example, think about the partial reading of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Here's what he tells his disciples. Go, and then here's the key phrase that we will repeat right through the lesson. Go, disciple, baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of. And what he is saying, under my signed authority, you go. This is your warrant to go. You've got to get out of the boat now. You've got to go, get out of the boat, and walk on water. Don't get your eyes on anything other than me. Go in the name of God. An ambassador under the authority of the King and the Creator of the universe. In Mark's Gospel chapter 16 verse 17, it is said that his disciples cast out devils in my name. He says, cast out the demons. Don't seek to engage that project unless you are doing it under my signed authority. And the observation was that even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. We have little probably realized how much power is in the name of the Lord. Even the demons are subject unto us. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 16, multitudes out of the cities came to Jesus or to the apostles, and it says they were bringing sick folk, vexed with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. Unclean spirits came out of many. And when Paul confronted this woman who was haggling him, following him all over the place, in Acts 16 verse 18, Paul said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And out he came. The same hour. We are told in the Old Testament, it's the precedent in Deuteronomy, for all who would minister to be effective and to be pleasing to the Lord must minister in the name of the Lord. Absent his signed authorization, absent his leading, you dare not try. Think about men of influence. Think of David, the youthful David, a teenager David. Teenager, probably not much, probably younger or about the same age as old Corey and Emily. Old Corey and Emily. About the same age. David stepped down into the battlefield with Goliath. Here's what he told him. Here's what David, the boy, told Goliath, the seasoned military warrior. 9 feet tall. He faces him down and he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. And down goes Goliath at the hand of a marksman teenager. Think about it also, the prophet Elijah facing down the hundreds of the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. After they did all of their mumbo jumbo and tried to call on Baal to come down. I mean, remember the contest was, whosoever shall answer by fire, let him be God. Okay, that was the contest. And so Elijah stands back, folds his hands, he props himself up and he lets them go. They try for the longest time to get Baal to answer by fire. Nothing. It came his turn. Here's what Elijah did. It says he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And on that altar, he doused it with water again, and there's the water again. Again and again and again. Soaked it. Remember now the contest. Let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Why would you put water on the focal point of your prayers? Because the altar was going to be the place where God was going to manifest. Why would you pour water on that? Remember what I told you, you got to get out of the boat. And if God, as it will be proved later, is able to make an axe head swim, he is able to consume that stone altar that was soaked with fire, or soaked with water by fire, to the point where the only thing left of the altar was dust. And I want to emphasize the word dust. Dust. Now that brings us to me and you. We're not Elijahs. I don't fancy myself to be an Elijah. I don't fancy myself to be on a par of equality with David, not even close. I don't even see myself as a modern day Peter. Although as probably mouthy as he is, and impetuous as he probably was, I'm not a Peter. I'm certainly not an Apostle Paul. But I also believe that the scriptures are true. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 142 verse 8, it says this, that our help is in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Now think about this. Think about getting out of the boat. Go search for that old axe head. Go ahead, douse your altars with water. And remember this. In the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself in the Gospel of John chapter 15 and chapter 16 says these words, whatsoever you, me, we, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it. Whatsoever ye ask. And you're sitting there thinking maybe, right now, you're trying to logically spin that. You say, well, Comiskey, I've been praying for this, this, and this for a long time and it ain't happening. What's up? It may be in your prayer time. And by the way, we can be people of influence in no greater way than by being people who frequent the throne of grace. It is a stupendous, profound act of faith in and of itself, praying to an unseen God, but praying in His name. He promises that whatever we ask, He'll give it. Maybe it's time, if you've been praying and praying and praying, and you find no recourse, no solution, it's time to get out of the boat. Time to get out of the boat. You will never know how far you can walk on water till you do. Now, let me ask you this. Does that make any sense to you? Huh? Does it make any sense? If anybody wants to try, let me know 24 hours ahead of time. I want to watch it. I've got me a fancy little track phone. It's got a camera device on it. And I can take really fine HD pictures on that. I want to get a picture of that. I want to get a picture of it. But more important and more to the point is that I look forward to seeing in the days ahead the axe head float all over the place as a result of your intercessory prayers. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time on this day with these dear people. Bless, Lord, and bring glory to yourself in and through our lives. May we be people of great influence to those all around us. And may they see most poignantly of all the life of Christ in us. We ask it in His name. Amen.